Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 6, that is, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he is teaching his disciples. There are others listening on, the Pharisees and so forth, waiting to catch him in his teaching and in his words, but he is primarily teaching for his own, those who believed in him. So what you hear tonight from Matthew chapter 6 applies to you tonight as well, as Christian disciples. Tonight we enter the season of Lent, a season of renewed emphasis on repentance. And that also means a season bearing the fruits of repentance, that is, discipline, self-control in our lives as well. Jesus, our Lord, teaches three major disciplines that Christians have practiced since all time. They are the practices of giving, of praying, and of fasting. All three of these are disciplines, and no doubt your flesh will meet them with that very word. They are disciplines. They are difficult. They require of you. They are meant, though, for your good. They are personal disciplines, that is, they are given for each individual to do personally. That you are indeed, as the Word of God says, to give so that your left hand does not know what your right does. That your Father, who sees in secret, would reward you. That you are to pray in secret so that your Father, who sees in secret, would reward you. You are to fast without anyone else taking note, that the Father who sees in secret would reward you. That we are taught the treasure is only secure treasure when it is placed in heaven. And that is where you as Christians are to store up the rewards for such disciplines as giving, praying, and fasting. That Jesus here teaches these sacred disciplines in such a way as to fight against our sinful nature, our flesh, which is always wanting adoration and attention from others. But that earthly adoration and attention is all the reward that the others who practice these things to be seen by them will ever get. But as Christians, these disciplines are meant to mortify the flesh, that is, to put it to death, and thus they also then help your neighbor, because as your flesh dies, you become less selfish and more focused on our Lord and the neighbors he puts around you. That indeed, these three disciplines are a summary of all good works, because to give is to do good for your neighbor. To pray is to seek out God's help in every need of body and soul for yourself and your neighbor. And to fast is to discipline your body so that it can serve the neighbor. All three of these disciplines give you an example of where your treasure actually is. If heaven is your home, that is where nothing, not moth, not rust, can steal or can destroy it, nor thieves break in and steal. Well, if that is your home, and that is where your treasure is, then the treasures and the rewards of this earthly life will have much less importance for you. That mammon and all of his evil influence does not stay long in control of one who is so focused on heaven. That yes, the fight is going to be found in the flesh, and it will continue on for your entire life. But here, we are taught from the word that discipline, self-control, is important. So, for example, if you live for this life, if you don't give, and you prefer to pile up wealth, untold amounts of wealth here on this earth, then that is exactly your reward. That is what you will have for now, and at death you will have it no longer. And you may even forfeit heaven itself, because the love of money is the root of all evil. If you don't pray, and you prefer to not seek out God's help, but to seek out your own help in yourself, your own resources, your own connections, rather than seeking out and petitioning the Almighty God who has commanded prayer and promised to hear our prayers, then you might just get that kind of help in this life, and that will be your reward. But you will die, and that reward will not be waiting for you in the life to come. And nor will you know God as your Heavenly Father. If you don't fast, and you spend your life serving your most basic desires, and you let the flesh lead you around by your nose, you will enjoy many things in this life, and that will be your reward. But you too will die. And the life to come, reward for such a person who lives only for their flesh, will be undesirable. For the flesh which leads you does not want heaven. It only desires life on this earth, and so that is what the flesh lives for, whether in not giving or not praying or not fasting. The flesh wants your faith in Jesus to die, and so it encourages all of the idolatries of the things of this world, because all of them have the chance then to take Christ's place as your God. Jesus says it in our gospel lesson tonight. He says, when you fast. When, not if. Fasting is an old discipline which has fallen into disuse, at least for its spiritual reasons. That there is a temporal and earthly use of fasting that has become quite popular today, but fasting for the Christian is chiefly a spiritual discipline. It has, in fact, always been used by the people of God for many reasons. It is to abstain from eating for a time. And the chief symptom of fasting is that you feel hunger. And that fasting and its reward is to discipline the flesh. The Christians of the past have used it to train their bodies to prove what Jesus said is true, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And fasting means some hunger, but it also means this benefit of curbing your flesh. It means more money to give. It means more time to study and learn the Word of God, and more time to pray. It means less rule by the selfish flesh and more rule by our loving God, which then means more love for the neighbor. That is the profitable use of fasting. That fasting will be of no benefit, as Jesus says, if you do it to gain attention from others. It will be no good before God when it's done for only selfish gains. It is no good and especially damning when someone fasts to try to gain their righteousness by it, as if fasting is something that appeases God for our many sins, but of course it can't. Fasting was never appointed for that. Fasting is not given for redemption's sake. But fasting is the fruit of the redeemed. Fasting is instead the fruit of God's saving grace, the fruit of faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, which sees heaven in comparison to this earth and gives up those earthly things to teach the flesh who is actually in control. That it is not your stomach, not your appetites, but it is the Lord. That fasting is beneficial when it is done by a heart that trusts in Christ and devotes everything to the good works that benefit the neighbor. Fasting also prepares you for hard times. The early Christians followed the Jews of the Old Testament fasting 2 days a week. They did it to train themselves for times when they figured that their food would be denied to them by those who hated Jesus. And as they prepared, it happened to them that they were denied food because they were Christians. And so don't be so arrogant today to think that this couldn't happen here or now, because it could. That when the promised persecution comes, because remember, Jesus has said it will come, the disciplines of giving, of praying, and of fasting will have prepared you to confess the faith. To confess the faith, even if they take away all your money, all your property, that you would confess your dependence on God and be able to petition Him for sustaining your faith and everything else you need and your help in your prayers. And that you would confess the Almighty God even with an empty stomach, even with a starving body, that you would be able to confess the Christ who has saved you and save those who hear you. The Lord, our God, seems as the last few years to be trying to remind us Christians that indeed hard times do come in this life. Whether it is by the increased hatred of the world for those who bear Christ's name, or whether it is the chastisement of a pandemic, or a reminder that earthly rulers can fail, or the ongoing, seemingly constant talk of war and the rumors of wars, our Lord has been calling down to the earth, and especially to His church through these things, and His word is a word, repent. That the kingdom of God comes. Put not your trust in your money. Put not your trust in your princes or presidents or political parties or yourself and your rejection of them. Put not your trust in the favor of men. Put not your trust in technology. Death is still death by the decree of the Creator, no matter how advanced our technology may get. Put not your trust in the might of men or the strength of arms. That this earth and those who are born of this earth are devouring themselves. Repent. Repent for your part in it, for all of the resistance to heavenly things, the reliance on earthly things, indeed our devotion to them. Repent for the energy that has been spent in service to your flesh and its desires. And instead turn to the Lord your God. That as Joel the prophet preached, we also hear, return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. This is the love of God, and it is found alone in Christ Jesus. That Jesus stood there and preached and taught these things about the Sermon on the Mount, these three disciplines to His own Christians, to the ones who had already, by grace, through faith, were saved. The ones who, by faith in Jesus, possessed the forgiveness of all their sins, He preached to them and taught them these disciplines for this earthly life. And He preaches it to you tonight as well. Because you are saved by the same grace, through the same faith, in the same Savior. It is not works that will save. It's not even disciplines like giving, praying, or fasting, but it is only the blood of Jesus that has atoned for you. Only the perfectly disciplined works of Jesus have fulfilled all righteousness for your sake. Only what Christ has earned can make you righteous and holy before God in heaven. And these are yours by faith in Him. And that heaven is your home because of Jesus. That heaven is where you store up your treasures. And as the Spirit teaches us through Peter tonight, there is great benefit to these disciplines, this self-control, this practice of virtue for those who are headed home to heaven. That these things mortify our flesh. They put it to death that as the flesh wants to guide us off the narrow way, these disciplines correct our flesh and keep us on that narrow way. But this is so important because that flesh wants with all of its being, with all of its might, it wants to rob you of what Christ has done for you. The flesh wants you to grab onto this earthly life and hold on so close and devote yourself to all the selfishness it requires. With such devotion to hold on to this life and the things of this life that your heavenly life would be forfeit. Suffer it not to be so amongst you as Christians, but resist the flesh, chastise it, and discipline it. Let the ash that has been put upon you this day, or the words that you have heard spoken to you this day, remind you of this earthly life and your coming death and your need for repentance. That there is infinitely more than what you know right now coming with the coming of our Lord. And that all of this is for your eternal benefit. And all of it will help others along the way as well. So set aside some meals if you're medically able. Go hungry. Give the money that you would have spent on that meal to someone who needs it. Or donate the food itself. Take the time that you would have spent in preparing that meal, eating that meal, and cleaning up after eating it to read the scriptures, to pray for yourself and for others. Mortify your flesh and its passions and desires. Lent is a penitential season. Repentance is always in order for a Christian, but here in these 40 days is to be extra on our minds and then extra in our lives. That this is the time for more of the things of God, more of the hearing of the Word of God, more giving, more praying, more denying of our flesh through the things like fasting. It's also time for hearing more of forgiveness, for more of receiving our Lord's body and blood given and shed for you, for this forgiveness of your sins and the supper, for more of living in what baptism has already made you and given you. For more, as we will learn this whole midweeks, for more of confessing your sins and hearing the word of forgiveness for those sins. That God indeed graciously grants us this time for these things and gives us all that we ever need for it. That with his Spirit leading, this season will bring us blessings for our bodies and souls by the word and the sacrament. And from these things will come more love and more service for others, that they might also know their Savior. Repentance is a blessed gift of God, and the season we now enter is made for it. In the name of Jesus, Amen.